Good afternoon. I'm Dr. John Noseworthy, President and CEO of Mayo Clinic. I'd like to welcome those of you with us in the chapel and those watching via webcast. His Holiness will be taking questions from the audience after the talk. If you have a question, please write it on the card you were given and pass it to the outside aisles. The questions will be collected and added to those which were submitted earlier. We are fortunate to have Kathy Werzer to act as our moderator today. Kathy is a journalist, author, and longtime host of Almanac on Twin Cities Public Television. I am truly honored to introduce His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people. The Dalai Lama's tireless efforts on behalf of human rights and world peace have brought him international recognition. He is the recipient of the Raoul Wallenberg Congressional Human Rights Award, the Albert Schweitzer Humanitarian Award, the Congressional Gold Medal, and the Nobel Peace Prize. He is also a friend to Mayo Clinic and is the recipient of our deep gratitude for having so kindly given his time to meet and talk with our staff. Each time we are privileged to hear His Holiness speak is a gift. Today he will be speaking about compassion in healthcare, a value that we hold dear at Mayo Clinic. Caring and compassion for our patients is part of our history and integral to our calling as caregivers and Mayo employees. Please join me in welcoming His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
Thank you. Thank you. I think you can come here. I think
moderator.
You stay here. I think you
moderator.
Should stay here.
Otherwise, not nice. Empty chair here. Maybe for some ghost.
Thank
Brothers and sisters, I extremely feel great honor having this opportunity to meet people who are working here. I think you're really making, I think, I said a great sort of contribution. So further development of this Mayo Clinic, which is, I think, very famous. I think hundreds, thousands of patients, you see, come here with great hope, and you provide fulfillment of their hope. So great thing, really great thing. So then those doctors and nurses, I think when you're treating treating patient who really sort of has a physical level also painful, mental level also, you see a lot of disturbances. And I think the doctors, nurses also, you see, sometimes it's a little bit sort of unpleasant sort of experience or difficulties, but in spite of that, you dedicated serving, taking care. So wonderful. And me, personally, also, you see, I can say, an old patient of this clinic. I think 9 years. So this time, you see, I spent here over 1 month for medical treatment. So all concerned, firstly, doctors, and then those nurses or technicians. They really very, very kind towards me. I think beside, there are also the profession, so also the duty. But they're really showing as the human sense of friendship, which is based on human love, human compassion. Actually, love. So therefore, I feel great honor to come here and meet and speak. And that place, because of the chapel, right? The chapel, the image of Jesus Christ. Of course, I think over 1,000 years, you see, among humanity, there are non-believers also there. One of the very, very ancient one school of thought of India, you see, non-believer, a lot of criticism about spirituality. So in any way, you see, human history, there are people who do not believe these things. And then today's world, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion non-believer. At the same time, over, I think, 3,000-4,000 years, faith, a different part of the world, faith, you see, come or develop. So we can imagine over a few thousand years, how many millions of people get tremendous of inspiration, particularly when they are passing through difficulties which beyond their control, beyond their control, then the faith provides basis of hope. Even dying person with faith, still, isn't there something? Be optimistic, optimistic. Like that. So therefore, so I feel great honor. I previously also used to talk this same room. At this time also, so now I have the opportunity to talk and such because of the holy, because of the sacred place. So thank you. And then also I want to thank your sort of introduction about me. So usually I prefer simply call me brother, brother. I feel that's, I think, really touch basic human being, humanness. Basic human level. Humanness. Different rank or different sort of the name according to the professions. These are secondary level, I feel. So the other day when I show my needs, some specialist, he asked me how to address to you. Then just I answered, oh, please describe me, brother. Very good. I really feel, come closer. If someone say, as you mentioned, His Holiness, 14th Dalai Lama. But you didn't make mistake. But some people, you see, they try to say His Holiness, but sometimes they say His Excellency. So then, because quickly you see, correct, His Holiness. Extra burden, you see, no problem. Because no need, because such as the formality, like that. So, so basically, we are same human being. I consider, you see, if we consider others as a human brothers or sisters, then we really, because of the talking or expressing on human level. When we stress the secondary level of differences, including different faith, different nationality, and within same faith, same nationality, rich and poor, or educated, uneducated, influential, or not innocent. So that problem which we are facing is actually developed on that level of differences. If we think, if you go the basic level, fundamental level, we are same human being. No demarcation. I think if we really, as if also the emphasis on sameness of 7 billion human beings, I think much problem certainly can reduce. So therefore, I always start my talk, brothers, sisters. So I really very much happy, great honor, speak. Now, usually I have. I think the person, I think, wrong. This is, should not put on this one.
Jacob?
This is better.
Okay.
More stable. Just always. Over like that. Whenever there's a person, you see, who put this, they always try to hide this wire. Nonsense. In any way, you see, you know this. So I prefer remain like this. So I usually see expressing or telling people if I too much concern or emphasis, importance of my sort of, this because of the secondary level of differences. I am Asian, I am Buddhist, I am Buddhist monk, I am Tibetan. Then furthermore, I am, as you mentioned, His Holiness Dalai Lama. Uh-huh. So if I consider that is something important, then actually I create myself some kind of wall. And in that wall, I'm a lowly person. Out of 7 billion human beings, only one Dalai Lama. Isn't it? And feel lonely. And also, when meet people, if I too much emphasis, I'm Dalai Lama, His Holiness, that mental attitude creates some barrier. When I think I'm a human being, the audience or human being, no barrier. I can talk what I feel. Whenever I give talk, no homework, no prepared sort of statement or prepared thing, just whatever come in my mind, just talk like that. So, I think sense of oneness of 7 billion human beings is very important. Now, today's world, we really need that. So in order to become a harmonious humanity, we need that kind of concept. So we need effort whenever you see we have possibility to educate people. We are the same human being. I think I often used to tell in hospital, concerned people in hospital, you see, you have that kind of concept. When some patient come, you see, your sort of treatment or your attitude is no differences, whether poor or rich, or believer or non-believer, this nation or that nation. You simply accept as a human patient. So that spirit, very important. So that also is one example. If doctor is making some discrimination on the differences of secondary level, and then many people is get disappointment. And even if some sort of, because of the short temper sort of, people, if you make sort of inquiring, what is your faith, what is your nationality, or these things, or they may get boxing. they make sort of do like that. Yeah. So therefore, oneness of human being. Actually, so I think the people who working patients or illness, I think that spirit is there. So that I hope is in many fields, including politicians' mind. I think that concept need. Otherwise, many problems which we are facing is actually our own creation, right? Like that. So,
compassion and health care.
So, compassionate, sort of a sense of generosity, taking care about patients' pain, patients' life, and you taking care one person, the patients, some friends or some family members. So when you also they provide because of the love and your professions and cure, at least 10, 15 people get immense sort of happiness. Happiness. So like that, in because of care.
Healthcare.
So now today, I want to spend our time more like because of interaction, right? Question and answer. So please start questions. And some comment also, including some criticism. Here sometimes I jokingly is telling, our tradition, the way of training from young age, we use a lot of logics. Any subject, when we're learning, the different sort of
topics,
we always, through logical analyzation. So as a person who trained age from, 7, 8 years, so more argument come. I feel very happy to debate, to argue.
Your Holiness, it's a pleasure. Nice to see you again. I was taking notes as I was listening to you about respect and being human when you are treating and working with patients. Mm. You talked a little bit about diversity. How can we instill respect for the diversity of others here as we work in the healthcare industry?
Firstly, I think nobody argue the way our life form at mother's womb. Then during that period, even that period, the child, I don't know, the first week, second month, I don't know. But then gradually, you see, little bit sort of the church. I think after a few months, I think the mother's mental state, very much important, the unborn child, mother's sort of mental state, happy, calm. The unborn child also should get some sort of positive because of that. Because of the impact. The mother, constant fear, anger, more agitated to mind, very harmful for their child. Then after birth, after born, obviously, the child, no idea who is that person, but biologically, immediately, see the very closeness feeling towards mother. And the mother also, no matter how, sort of, at that moment, a little bit of dirty, sort of, delicate, but mother, really. So that's human nature. 7 billion human beings start that way. Even today's also the merciless leaders or people, their life starts that way. Then at the end, certainly human being, same way to say goodbye. So that moment also, see, money may be very rich, but those, because of bank notes are there, bank notes in bank, so I think bring more worry about the dying person. Or jewelries, I think more worry. At that time, surrounded by Kasota, your trusted friend with love, surrounded, then the dying person feel much happier. We can learn other animals. Youngsters, this animal, with their mother, this is sure, very safe, very happy. Right. When you separate, you see some scientist, you see, experimented. Some young monkey with their mother. Some young monkey separated. So these monkey with mother more playful. Those young monkey separate from mother, constant quarrel. Always Virikasuda, angry,
agitated,
like that. So we are same.
We are the same.
So, and then most important, everybody want a happy life. Nobody is want problem. So same. And all have same right to achieve happy life. So then, you see, thinking or awareness, these things, then you see someone who on superficial, you feel little irritation, but deeper level, same human being, same right. So then, develop sense of respect, sense of concern of their well-being.
We have so many questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
So then I think one important thing is when we develop some anger with someone, the anger actually, you see, need some kind of or target. So the person create some problem for you, then we look only that angle, then, oh, this person really creates a lot of problem for me, so I consider this my enemy. Then you see anger come. So at that moment, I think that basically that person, if you ask, oh, your enemy, today's enemy, from birth, whether you're enemy or not, no. And become your enemy, troublemaker, without any causes or factor, no. It's the person who creates a little bit negative attitude towards you, there are many causes. And in that part of cause, you also made some contribution. So you cannot blame entirely on that person. You also, you see, among the factor which creates that person who shows negative attitude towards you. For example, or small things happen, you immediately, you see, express negative. Then that negativeness feeling keep in your mind day and weeks, months, years. Then you get the impression that negativeness increasing. So something happened, that short moment, some angry face, harsh word. The next day, finished. Then no problem. So these things, and one my friend, one scientist, the Aaron Beck, now his age 97 or 98. So once he told me, when we develop anger, the object appears something very negative. But actually, that negativeness, actually 90% of that negativeness is your own mental projection. So therefore, I think we can examine our own experience. You see, due to certain factor, you see you lost your anger with someone. Then, that moment, you see, you feel, oh, Kasota, Tony Mandota, meeting a Namiya Tagman Sabrush.
You feel disgusted with the person, thing that you don't want to see him or her anymore.
Then the intensity of anger little reduce. Then someone telling you, or that person, some nice word about you. Immediately, you see, when you heard that, isn't it, your sort of mental attitude completely changed. If this sort of negativeness is something absolute, then the factor which you feel angry, you see, remain. But due to certain sort of factor, you change that. So therefore, see, the most of the destructive emotion is actually very much mixed with mental exaggeration. So we have this wonderful brain. So we should utilize this wonderful brain, analyze and look from wider perspective. And poor animal, they have no such ability. So they cannot think holistic way or analyze the situation. We have this wonderful brain. Sometimes I describe, if you believe creator, then the God give us, you see, this wonderful brain. So when we develop emotions, we must utilize this wonderful intelligence. Analyze and look from different angle, same person. from one angle, yes, you feel irritation. Same person from another angle, oh, looks neutral. Another angle, oh, you may feel, oh, wonderful, good, like that. So therefore, the reality, something relative, no absolute. So when our destructive emotion develop, only from one angle. So the antidote of that, when develop anger, you try to look that object from different angle. Rekasa, three dimension, even six dimension, from above, look, from below, look. So this, I think we only human being can do, other animals cannot do. So it is really worthwhile, as I said, to utilize extraordinary intelligence or extraordinary brain which we have. If you become slave of destructive emotions such as anger, then hardly you are because of following animals or because of the attitude like that, or tiger or these things. They cannot, you see, they have no such ability. That's my view.
I'm curious, you mentioned anger, Your Holiness, and here at a place of healing, there are many, many people who have serious illness, and they have trouble accepting that diagnosis. Do you have advice as to how a person can accept their situation and move through it so they can continue to live?
What do you mean?
As you know,
but if you are through blood pressure, or the blood test, or all these things, and then I think if sensible patient, it's must accept.
Some people, as you know, though, Your Holiness, fight and cannot accept their diagnosis.
Really?
That's what I've heard. I've heard that. So I'm curious.
It sound looks me, that's foolish.
Any advice as to accepting?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm good with that.
I think firstly, you see, let that person cool down. Talk some nice things. And then if their mind a little bit sort of cool down. Then, firstly, you should express your real concern. Let that person feel, oh, this person really taking care of me seriously. Then eventually, make known those difficult or seriousness, maybe better.
I understand.
I think the nurse or doctor is telling these negative things without smile. Then maybe the patient, you see, more difficult to accept. You see, you showed your serious concern about their sort of well-being, their illness, and showing you also, because of your own sort of, what's today, the sense of worry or concern. Then maybe, I think, sensible patient, I think then we'll listen. If still not listening, then that's an exception. Then I don't know.
When it comes to Your Holiness, some patients who do listen and accept, some people, as you know, are able to view cancer or their terminal illness as a blessing or a gift. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, it's some Tibetan, some good practitioner, as well as good scholar. See, one one day, I know him. You see, he met me, and then he told me, now he already got some incurable sort of illness. So the doctor saying something very serious illness. Then he told doctor, if my illness is really, you see, incurable, cannot cure, or terminal, then let me know. Then I'm thinking something, preparation. Of course, we is thinking the life after life. So then, very good, let me know the reality. Then accordingly, I will prepare. He told me that. So, some people, even you see, the seriousness about illness, you see, do not say,
want to hear.
Or want to hear. This is self-deceiving.
Self-deceiving.
Like that. So, but then, individuals, different mental disposition. So you have to act or treat according individual. So what's the case? Like that? I don't know.
We have so many questions from our audience and their caregivers. Hmm? Here's a question from the audience, Your Holiness. How can we, as caregivers, deal with feeling helpless and frustrated when there's nothing more we can do for a patient?
There are some cases, yes, it is a reality. You try your best, but then impossible to cure. Accept the reality. So then, is it just provide loving kindness or smile and sort of give them the feeling of loving kindness? So I think the person, as I already mentioned, person at the time of dying, I think some kind of, because of the high spirit, that is important. So that comes surrounded by people with smile and with kasoda, chuksananda, affection. Then that at least, you see, keeps some kind of high spirit soaring. So if we, if you know those people who have the concept of life after life, then they at the time of dying, the mental state is very, very important for next life. And people, I think, according Christianity, you see, at the moment dying, remember God. And meantime, your spirit should be very high, more optimistic, more sort of the kasoda.
Positive.
So that, I think, the very important sort of immediate sort of cause is to go to heaven. At that moment, demoralize. And too much sort of anger or worry. Even though usually this is a very religious minded person, but at the time of dying, that kind of sort of completely lost hope and demoralized. And the worst thing, some agitated mind, is very dangerous. Like that.
There are many people here, Your Holiness, who I have worked with the dying. And you know, caregiving is a very difficult task, doctors
right,
and nurses.
Of course.
Do you have advice on how caregivers can balance practicing compassion without burning out emotionally?
Of course, difficult to say. I have no such experience. So imagine if I sort of, imagine just simply, you see, I think at that such moment, the thinking, as I mentioned earlier, from wider perspective, just see thinking that the particular circumstances or reality, but look from wider perspective. That I think helpful. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know. So, I think the most sort of destructive emotion actually very much link with usually we call ignorance. That means not knowing the reality. Because you are sort of focusing just one aspect. So the only remedy is looking that from wider perspective, then you can see the reality, different aspect of the reality. As a human being, I think basically that's our thinking. Therefore, some part of our curriculum is to study about the system of our mind, system of our emotion. And then, you see, the emotion, something because of vast and interconnectedness. So knowing these things, then easier to tackle certain sort of particular emotions like that. So these are, usually we do that, but I don't know.
We're talking another question, Your Holiness. Hmm? To be compassionate, do you have to believe in a personal God?
No, not that. To be compassionate, must one believe in a personal God?
Yes.
I think yes and no both. Many people, yes. I feel very purpose of concept of God and creator is to develop firm sort of the conviction, the value of compassion. So to some people, they believe God, a personal God, or this very life created by God. So each individual, develop some kind of sense of very close, sort of, because of that.
Closeness
with God, like our Father. So more closeness feeling, more willingness, and also more sort of courage. I am Son of God. God described infinite love. So we all have seed of that compassion. And also, my Father always taking care of me, always look after me, like that. Wonderful. At the same time, out of 7 billion human beings, over 1 billion non-believer. And among about 6 billion believer, different beliefs. Some sort of ancient Indian tradition is no concept of creator, but rather self-creation. Different perceptions, like that. So each have their own sort of beauty. So people who follow of Christianity or Islam or Judaism and many other ancient Indian non-Buddhist tradition or non-Buddhism, because non-Buddhist as well as non-Jainism, you see, they believe creator. Then Jainism Buddhism, no concept of God, because of creator. So it's a different, rather, different mental disposition. Therefore, over there are now almost 3,000 years, you see, the different time, different area, with different cultural heritage, different way of life, you see, these different sort of philosophical views, you see, develop. So each have its own beauty. And it is the very helpful to overall humanity. I think this is very good among the humanity, so many different mental disposition, so different way of approach to promote inner value. The wonderful. Then to non-believer, as I mentioned briefly, one of my commitment is promotion of human value. That also I call kasota, kasote, basic.
Secular.
Secular said, "Sig mab de kasa." Kasong
basic compassion.
Oh,
ethics, basic ethics.
I don't know, basic ethics or something. Because now, in India, the Indian constitution itself is very much based on secular concept. So according to Indian understanding, some Indian understanding, secular means respect all religions and also respect non-believer. In the West, secular means disrespect religion and also some, I think, negative attitudes toward religion. So the very word secular, different sort of that interpretation. So in any way, now out of 7 billion, over 1 billion non-believer, these are also human beings. I think one problem is those non-believer, since they do not accept any sort of spirituality, spiritual value, so they also, you see, not much pay attention about love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, these things. So that's a mistake. Whether accept religion or not, that's one question. These basic human value, so long they are human being, you have to give this deeper value. Without love, how can develop happy family without love and kindness? And actually, we are social animal. Social animal, you see, they mentally, emotionally, there must be some sort of the way of thinking which bring together. That's love. And with love, sense of community. So then we are social animal. One individual, no matter how powerful, just one single person cannot survive. Our survival depends on rest of the community. Now today's world, each individual's future very much related with 7 billion human beings. 7 billion human beings happy, and you individual have maximum benefit. If 7 billion human beings, a lot of turmoil or something, killing each other, like today's sort of situation, and one individual, difficult to feel happy or peace. So therefore, whether believe religion or not, you are a human being. You want happy life. So happy life from material, from money, from power, superficial. The real happiness is related with mental experience, not sensorial experience. sensorial experience, animal also have same. We human being, this marvelous intelligence, either, you see, become source of happiness or source of worry. You have all the facilities, but at the same time, can be very, very unhappy person. Other hand, materially poor, but mentally very happy. One occasion I met a Catholic monk in Casade, Montserrat, in Barcelona. In Spain. So I met one Catholic monk. You see, he spent 5 years in the mountain, hermit life, very little hot meal, tea and bread. When he come to see me, I already informed that story's way. So I asked him, I was told, you see, you spent 5 years in mountain, hermit life, and very little facility. What kind of practice, what kind of meditation? And he answered me, meditate on love. When he mentioned that, in his eyes, something very, very special, joyful sort of, because of expression. So such person deliberately, you see, the kasoda, choose very simple kasoda, simplicity, simple life, very little facility, but that person enjoy immensely inner peace, happiness. And some of the billionaire, you see, very rich. I know some billionaire. You see, when we, after sort of exchange some nice words, then when we become something closer, then they express their deeper feeling, too much worry. Billionaire, at the same time, very unhappy person. So money, matter, cannot produce inner peace of mind. Peace of mind is a must develop within our own mind, not rely on external facilities. Actually, physical difficulties can subdue with because of the mental peace. But mental sort of because of the crisis or disturbed mind cannot subdue by money, by power. So obviously, the mental level experience is more important than the physical level experiences. So we as a human being, the God's gift of this wonderful brain, so we should utilize, you see, that brain in order to keep inner peace. Then you can consider genuine human being. If we just, you see, use kasa sensorial experiences, some sort of also the kasa nice kare, nine scenery or something, or sports, and music, and taste, and smell, and touch, including sex. If you only consider these things are something very important, then like animal. So we, as a human being, we must sort of utilize a deeper level of our ability to think, to tackle our emotions, irrespective of whether believer or non-believer. So that I usually call, without relying on religious belief, use our intelligence and try to reduce destructive emotion, and through increasing kasa, constructive emotion, like that. So if you have believe God, wonderful. If you haven't, okay. Still, you are a human being.
Well said. I'm curious. We have another question from the audience, Your Holiness. Compassion is born of human connection.
Yes.
Right? So as we go forward, the world is so technologically driven. How do you keep that connection in order to foster compassion with a world that's driven by very impersonal technology, including in the medical field?
Technology, machines, only used to provide physical comfort, not mind. So the method to bring mental peace, I think in the future maybe the technology may sort of may produce peace of mind. I don't know. I think at least another one century. That also, I think, possibility of 1%. No. Otherwise, it's difficult. So technology, these bring physical comfort. And also, technology bring us the power of destruction. Sad. Those really brilliant sort of minded sort of person, their wonderful brain used for destruction, create different variety of weapon. Very sad. I think technology, can immense help to kill people, thousands or 100,000, even million. Within second, technology can do that. But peace of mind cannot.
We took another question from the audience.
Yes?
What is the relationship, Your Holiness, between healing?
But at the same time, I love technology.
You love technology?
Oh, yes. Technology bring us here together.
True.
Without technology, I think you may have heard India. Through some cause of the weather, the messenger or something. Otherwise, it's impossible.
Do you have a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone?
No.
Oh, okay. Just
no.
I didn't think you did, but I thought I'd ask that question.
You know one story. I love technology. And when I was young, this is kasa, screwdrivers are right.
Screwdrivers
and something. Some simple machines. You see, I always keep with me. So some small sort of kasoda repair work I can do like that. So I love, you see, these things. And also sometimes you see, repair clock like that. Small watch, impossible, difficult. So in any way, nowadays, you see, these machines are too sophisticated. So I do not know. I'm not trying to learn or to use. So let other people use. So therefore, one occasion, my friend from some different country telephoned me. So then my secretary brought that because of phones are
there.
Cell phone. And then I because of this, listen. And then when I answer, I put this side. Then you say my secretary laughing. Not necessary, just you can talk. I do not know, you see. While listen, you see here, I'm talking like this. Old fashioned, that's the sign of sort of ignorance.
Yes.
But that ignorance, not much serious.
still, the message is connection. Human connection is still needed, no matter technology.
So this, you see, technology, now technology is wonderful. Now the question is the user of technology. Use properly, honestly, with sense of concern, well-being of other. Finally, well-being of 7 million human beings. Then technology really can be very, very helpful. But technology used for self-centered sort of interest and how to destroy that person, how to destroy that nation, then very bad.
Good question here from an audience member, by the way. So much of disease is triggered by people holding on to anger, resentment, bitterness, pain. How do we get people to lighten up and let go, or should we?
That's, again, you see, use our brain. What do you want to use to keep anger here? Days and weeks. It won't go away. And that eventually, see, your physical health also, I think, ruined. So some scientists now they say constant fear, constant anger, hatred is actually eating our immune system. Other hand, more calm mind, more compassionate mind, very, very helpful to sustain our health like that. So therefore, see this, I think lack of knowledge about the system of emotion. So this information about different emotions, usually I call map of emotion, that come from some sort of ancient because of spiritual text, right? But now time come, we should take these things as a sort of, because of the academic subject, not religious matter. Although maybe irrelevant here, the books which translated from ancient Indian Sanskrit language and also Pali language, mainly Sanskrit and Pali, about 300 volumes. So in these 300 volumes, the content, we can make three parts. Number one, science. Science of particle, science of mind. That should consider an academic subject, a science. And the second part, philosophy. There are some philosophical views are directly linked with religion. In this case, Buddhism. But some sort of philosophical views, like quantum physics, very similar concept in philosophical views. You see, nothing independently exists. So that exactly, now quantum physics sort of, how to say the concept, very similar. As far as, because of the external thing, is concerned, nothing objectively exists. Observer there, it exists. No longer observer, difficult to say. The probability is where? Like that. Sometimes people describe the word probability, not certain. So that means no independent existence. So over 2,000 years, almost, I think, 2,500 years, isn't that concept already developed in India. Nothing independently exists. So that philosophical views, we can take as a philosophy, not a religious matter. So out of 300 volumes, you see, we already now last, decade. Around one decade, we started to combine science and philosophy, just pure philosophy, and then religion. Religion is for Buddhists. But philosophy, some part of this philosophy and science is something common for everybody. So we already now compiled, you see, according to this content. So already translation, already now start. English translation, Hindi translation, Chinese translation, or Mongolian translation, Russian translation, German translation, already carried like that. So maybe 1 or 2 years, this translation can be available. Then I think some of doctor also, you see, can learn something about system of mind. So some of my friend is a respected old doctor. Now your age should be low, should be younger, then you can study these things.
If I heard you correctly, Your Holiness, you are talking about a map of emotions.
Yes.
Yes. How can we achieve positive thoughts, positive emotions, positive attitude in the face of so much anguish and suffering when we're dealing with people who are ill?
Mm-hmm. Now the basis of positive and negative is connection with the cause of joyfulness experience and worry, pain. This no sort of cause of the absolute sort of foundation. Any emotion brings inner peace, happiness, that consider constructive emotion. Any emotion immediately destroy your peace of mind and then gradually ruined your own health. That emotion consider destructive emotion. Nothing to do with faith. So then we analyze a certain sort of emotion. Long run, very sort of helpful. That consider positive, constructive. So these emotion, I think you see, we can say that those constructive emotion need some kind of training. Training means familiarize. A destructive emotion, very much sort of related with biological factor and as well the constant sorry, spontaneous sorry, without much sort of reasons. Of course, anger, some artificial reasons you see may involve there, but basically just come. Then compassion, loving kindness, there are two levels. One level, love, compassion, is oriented about others' attitude. That kind of compassion is biased compassion, limited, much sort of related with biological factor, such as ordinary sort of loves or these things. Only your relatives, those people, your unknown people, not develop that. Now through awareness, 7 million human beings, actually our brothers, sisters, and individuals' future very much related with them, with their future. So thinking this line, then sense of sort of genuine sense of concern of their well-being and loving kindness, that's through sort of kasoda, through reasoning, through training, and then familiarize, constantly thinking that, then that becomes something living. So those constructive emotion, generally speaking, come develop through training. So that kind of loving kindness is unbiased. Now here, you see, you have to make distinction. Actor and action. Such as a troublemaker. You see, sometimes you see, you may need take countermeasure in order to stop their wrongdoing, but without losing compassion to that person. So this time we make distinction as the action and actor. Action is concerned, sometimes little sort of short temper and try to bring extra energy, try to stop that. But deeper level, without losing sense of concern of that person. So actually, it's a little bit harsh word or tough sort of attitude. Out of sense of concern of their well-being. So that kind of, you see, appears as anger, but out of compassion. That, you see, so this time, you see, compassion towards the person, actor, little bit sort of negative sort of attitude towards their action. We have this ability to make distinction. For example, in the church, when you make sort of confessions away, confession, at that moment, you make distinction, yourself and your wrong action. So now you realize I did something wrong. So at that moment, you already make distinction. Your action, wrong action, and yourself. So now yourself realize that wrong action, confess. So we have that ability. So apply to other people. You see, make distinction. There are wrongdoing action. For that, sometimes we need because of countermeasure in order to stop that, but without losing compassion towards this person.
I think we have time for a couple more questions, Your Holiness. Okay. You've had a front row seat to the American, you've had a very intimate experience with the American medical system here at Mayo. If you were going to redesign the American healthcare system, what would you change?
My knowledge, zero. And how can make change without sort of full of knowledge? Difficult. Signing, you know. I think those experts, you see, years experience. Then, you see, they're not contented as it is. The further development. So then, you will find more new ideas. And then, experiment. And it worked. Then, kasuta, lalinkya.
Then you can make certain changes.
Oh, like that. So that's your responsibility, not my responsibility. I just a patient, come and go.
I know you have great affection for your caregivers here at Mayo. Do you have advice to your care team as you prepare to leave?
We already met, and each morning we always see making jokes and sometimes some sweet like that. Over 1 month, we really become very close friend. So human friendship entirely based on trust. Trust very much based on, I say, the honest, truthful. That very much link with warm-heartedness. If you really respect other, really keep sense of concern of their well-being. then you can carry your sort of life honest, truthful, nothing kasoda, hided away. So you can carry transparently, transparency. That brings trust. Trust is basis of friendship. So I think, generally speaking, whenever I went meet people, if we spend just a few days, then very easily become close friend. So I think one peculiar or one unique thing, as soon as I enter the place where I carry kasa, I get the medication. We always teasing. Teasing, joking.
Joking.
You know? So as soon as we met, it's a full smile, like reunion of longtime friend. So I really enjoy that. Really. Each morning, say, I have some kind of excited. Oh, now I'm going to meet this wonderful sort of kasoda human being. So that's something very important. I hope you see other patients also, you see, receive that kind of attitude. And then, of course, it also, you see, depends on the patient themselves.
That's true.
Some patients never show a smile. Then the nurses smile also is sometimes difficult. It is human nature. This is some kind of today. Oh, one occasion I was in Germany, some function. You see, I'm going there. You see, at that function, see, as my sort of usual habit, when I passing through some street, you see some people. There's so one that case is one young lady is coming from other side. So, as my sort of usual practice, smiling. No need introduction. As soon as human face saw, I already know one human sister. So I smile. So then that lady, I think young lady, saw my dress looks something strange. So head also a little bit strange. So I think that lady felt my smiling is something, a dirty mind or something. So when I sort of smile, that young lady, more serious face. So then I also have the liberty to turn my face. So like that, you see the nurse, you see to one patient, is never sort of smiling or something serious. And then nurse smile, then that may get some agitation. That also possible, isn't it? Human mind is it's quite sophisticated, quite a bit of variety like that. So then, firstly, I think the nurse, she should receive that patient with a smile. That patient is something different. Then you also can act accordingly their circumstances. If the patient very serious, then the doctor, the nurses or doctors also can be very serious. Like that, isn't it?
Good advice, though. I think I have time for one last question.
So I mentioned, you see, though, this morning when we're departing, I also feel a little sort of sad. And I express, now we are departing. But our friendship till our death remains, no matter where we live. And I'm hoping within 1 month we become close friend. You see, if you have opportunity or time, visit India, impossible, is to come my area, then let me know. I will receive you. Okay. Then also in this country, wherever, you see, some nearby, then you can come and exchange our smile and some jokes, some teasing. I love you teasing. Like that. So particularly sometimes you see the gathering very serious, more formal way. Then some mistake happened, and I love that.
You love mistakes?
Oh. You see the seriousness according to the formality. Some mistake happened. Then that at least so some change, isn't it? One time in Mexico, one famous church, one sort of interfaith meeting. One Japanese, as a representative of Buddhist, Japanese Zen, so as a Japanese sort of tradition, they say, each person, you see, carries some sort of chanting as a prayer or something. So that Japanese, as their tradition, rosary. While he chanting, you see, rosary, you see, because of that.
Sending the beads.
Because of that dose.
No, oh, sending the beads.
Oh, like that. And then somehow, what you call sting of that bead broke. So some sort of bead scattered, but he still completely ignore that. Go like that. I feel love. Silly. If I'm his place, I will pick up those those beads. That's more practical.
Right.
No use to show or nothing happened. Silly. You see, little funny. 1954, when I reached Peking, the Indian missions, you see, came to see me. The ambassador of India came to see me, and the Chinese officials, very serious. So they remain almost like a statue. Oh. Then somehow, one could have bought some fruit. You see, Kasuta showing that way. And somehow that pot toppled. So these fruit scattered. Then those Chinese who remained like a statue, very formal, then they they are kneeling there. No. Kneeling there, because
they went down on their knees.
Kneeling and pick up. So I really enjoyed that. So therefore, you see, one occasion in Delhi, one sort of interfaith meeting, one great Indian spiritual sort of leader, usually they call Shankaracharya. There are, I think, 5-6 Shankaracharya, South India, North India, and one Shankaracharya. I know many of them. You see, some are really wonderful, simple, run their life, very simple city, wonderful. But that occasion, one spiritual leader, you see, quite a big kasuta, chair, quite big chair, and I beside him, I there. So then he, the whole, I think, the period, he remained like a statue, not a living human being, like that. So then I noticed, you see, his kasuta's chair, people who arrange these kasuta, arrange these things, so I think they insist should be higher. Oh. So his sort of was the chair.
Legs.
This leg,
underneath.
Not long enough. So they put some bricks and under there. I saw that. So then too much sort of statue-like, you see, not living human being, then I felt I wish that brick should topple. then holy, or say the Holy Spirit, because of spiritual leader acting like sort of God or something, or then have to act as a human being. So I really, you see, I also remain very sort of because of the disciplined way, but my mind or that brick should.
That's not compassionate.
So?
That's not compassionate.
Oh, right, right, right. And one way I can say, you see, too much seriousness, the audience may not enjoy, may not happy. If something happened, everybody laugh. That, you see, compassion.
Your Holiness, I have time for one final question because I'm sure some people have to go back to work.
Yes.
Do you personally have a daily ritual to spark compassion in your life? Is there something that we could do in a ritual, perhaps daily, in order to foster more compassion in our lives, that we can become more compassionate?
Oh. As a sort of practitioner, Buddhist practitioner, each day, morning, 4 hours for meditation. Here, meditation means analytical meditation. Analyze. So about mind, about feeling, about things and world events, analyze. So, that immense help, you see, to develop sense of concern of well-being of humanity. In our prayer, we always, you see, pray for entire sentient being. But other galaxies, you have no connection. Only pray. Then within this planet, limitless insects, birds, deers. In my sort of very place, now last 1 month now spent, some beautiful deer. I really feel, I said, the kasota, love. But since they are animal, no language, impossible to share some of my experience. One deer leg is something difficult. I really feel very sad, but nothing can be done. And then, so therefore, the limitless sentient being on this planet, we can't do. Now, 7 billion human beings, there's language, and human intelligence. So there is possibility to share, exchange our different experiences in order to achieve happy days and weeks and months or years. So I dedicated all my life till my death as I try to make little contribution, as much as I can, to bring more inner peace, to enter 7 billion human beings. That, you see, we have to work. So then, change start from individual. So then, on that sort of belief, you see, one individual's effort will not change the world. But we must start from where? From individual. That's I believe. That's my belief. So each of us, part of 7 million beings, clear goal, happy humanity, peaceful humanity, ultimately compassionate humanity, through awareness, through education. So then, firstly, we individual. We should practice these things. Then make example to other. Then more and more people. You see, share your experience. From one person, at least their family members, their friends, 10 people. Each 10 people share with their friends. That means 100 people. 100 people, same way, 1,000 people. And 10,000, 100,000, million, 100 million. That's the way. This change, we have to work. Some change. Everybody, you see, in everywhere we say, peace, peace, peace. Not much thinking. What's the destroyer of peace? Anger and self-centered attitude. Now, how can deal that? Nobody thinking, not much thinking this line. So firstly, in order to achieve compassionate humanity, each of us have some sort of possibility to make some contribution. So here, I think a few hundred people are those people who feel some sense about my sort of view or my feeling. Then please try. Make a contribution. If individual is not much interest, then not important. Just to leave it in this church, in outside. Whatever your daily life you can carry, no problem. Not compulsory. So like that. So that my belief. So wherever I go, I always talk these things. And more scientists, more and more educationists and thinkers, you see, joining our effort. So we already sort of drafting education, curriculum for education for warm-heartedness, strictly secular way, not related with religion. So we already, with the help of Emory University, we already drafted, first draft. So now, this year, in India, as well as America, eventually, we will, because of the discussion, discuss more larger way, and then eventually finalize. So change, better world, compassionate world, not through prayer. Of course, I pray to Buddha, to God. But I think in reality, I think over at least 2,000 years, we pray everywhere. But the thing which we pray not materialized. So we should know the effect of prayer. This limitation. Obviously, this problem we created. Sometimes I jokingly used to telling people, if you see we meet you see Jesus Christ or Buddha and ask, please bring peace on this planet, then both I think Jesus Christ and Buddha may say, you created this trouble. So you have the responsibility to solve. I always give you compassion, love. But you practice, you do not practice. Since you created this problem, so you have the responsibility to solve. I think Buddha will say that. So now, for that, you analyze. Weapon create problem? No. The user of weapon. as I mentioned earlier, the technology is itself nothing but user and the scientific knowledge. You see, used for killing by human being, not other animal. Only human being. So we have to change here. Combination of warm-heartedness from birth we already have. I think I may share the now last word. Recent years, is some occasion, some scientist is he told our gathering. Very young infant child, 3-4 months old. The cartoon, two children played together with love, smile. The infant child. Oh, no signal.
No,
so that was.
No, you're please.
So that infant child, when saw that cartoon, the two children helping each other with smile, with love, the infant child smiling, showing happy mood. The same child, when show cartoon, two children, negative attitude, then the child also show some kind of dislike. So such experiment, they say basic human nature is loving kindness. And more important, constant loving kindness experience health better. Anger, fear, constant has occur very bad for our health. That means biologically the loving kindness, warm heartedness is very fit this body. Anger, not. So this factor, conclusion is basic human nature is more positive, more compassionate. So when I heard that, I really felt, oh, there is hope. Basic human nature is more compassionate, more positive. So we can work that. Further promotion. If basic human nature is negative, then no hope. So therefore, now really worthwhile to utilize human intelligence to further develop or nurture this basic human nature. I think mistakes are all better.
The drawback
is existing education system very much oriented about external value. Not talking inner value. When inner value, the subject of inner value come, then we always rely on religious belief. That will not cover 7 million human beings. So there's no other choice except that through education, without touching religion, simply on the basis of scientific finding and our common experience and common sense, is we can educate children from kindergarten level up to university level. So I think within this year, we may produce some sort of kaza activity.
Books.
Oh, kaza. Okay, curriculum. So then, I think in India and also, in America, which is some cities, few cities already sort of developed the name of City of Compassion, City of Kindness. Wonderful. It's wonderful. So there's concerns of the mayors, they already say, this very name, and accordingly, within their sort of area, you see some sort of stress about kindness, or so result student much sort of kasoda, happier, peaceful. So there is real hope. Real hope. So therefore, it's really worthwhile make attempt. I think the doctors, I mean, who taking care about health, you can lead that sort of movement because you practice these things. Wonderful. Not as a religious practice, but simply serving humanity, serving sort of kasoda, poor people. Poor people means ill because of the sick people. Wonderful. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
Thank you. Audrey.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.